Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. This is your host, Martha Tyler. And this week, I'm very excited. We are going to be talking about athletics and kids and how we can use athletics as counseling for kids. And to do that, I have brought on Pete Bruce. Hello, Pete.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to have you on. So Pete and I were in the counseling program together at Northeastern Illinois University, and Pete has already graduated, and I'm on his heels. Next August, I'll be there.
You're close.
Too. Yeah.
You're close.
I'm getting there. But yeah, so Pete, before we get started talking about like athletics with kids and all the ways that we can use sports to help build relationship with kids. Mm-hmm. Let's hear like your history working with kids and also in counseling.
Sure. So I've been in sports for really my whole life. I played three sports in high school. I ended up being able to play baseball in college, and I started my coaching career, actually, when I was still playing in college. I went back to my high school and I was an assistant JV coach. And really since then, so that was, you know, 15 years ago that I've been coaching. And then long story short, it ended up being my full-time job. So I would give personal lessons. I would do camps. I would coach teams. I would do strength and conditioning programs. And then I was also the summer camp director, which I think you also did, right? For acting or?
Yeah, for theater.
Yeah. And so it was during that time where really that's also where my counseling, I guess, career started. It was pretty early on that, you know, I would work with a kid on his hitting and I would learn, okay, this has really nothing to do with actual hitting. This is
right.
Whether his dad screamed at him in the car or whether he's just nervous or whether he's not confident, that was apparent very early on. And so the way my mind kind of works is I'm constantly trying to get to the root issue of anything.
Yeah.
And so it was from there that light bulb sort of went off of like, oh, I'm going to have to do some other stuff here. Mm-hmm. So I went from sports and then I went to social services where I worked in an inpatient facility for young men aged 17 to 21 with struggling with stuff. And then that's when I was like, okay, I'm basically there coach. I'm doing baseball stuff, but there is no baseball. And then obviously going back to grad school and now starting to work with parents, coaches, administrators, players on like, how do we use sports, like baseball specifically, because that's where most of my background is, and like, how do we build the best player, but also build the best person? How can we sort of have both of those and really use some more science-based stuff on building resiliency and confidence and social skills, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that your journey is somewhat similar to mine in that. So academics was where a lot of my energy went in those years that you played sports. And so I was tutoring and I found the same thing to be true of like, your kid isn't struggling with homework because of a learning disability or anything like that. They're struggling with homework because of the culture in your home around homework.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, that was one of the things that led me to go back to school was that I was like, my education degree can't actually help with this. Just exactly. Like your 15 years of experience coaching wasn't necessarily the whole picture.
Yeah.
Of how to help.
Yeah.
And certainly you have to have those skills too, but yeah, that's really great. Thank you for sharing all that.
Sure.
So yeah, when we're looking at sports, so I know like my relationship with kids in sports is often I take them to the sport thing and I like stand with younger sibling and watch, or I take younger sibling to the park, or I drop everybody off and I get like a tiny break, which is lovely. But yeah, I guess I'm curious about like those early ages at first, talking about those. Cause what are some of the goals when we're talking about building resiliency and those life skills in those early, early ages?
Sure. So we can just work with baseball, but this applies to any sport, really sport and games, it's play. And so it's really the perfect sort of think of a baseball field as a big sand box, right? And so there's certain structures already in place with baseball and play in general that will sort of not only teach them certain things, but force them basically to deal with certain things. So whether it's the three strikes and you're out, that early age, that 5, 6, 7, they struggle with that.
Yeah.
You say three strikes, you're out. They'll start to sort of negotiate. No, let's do one more. And so just using that as an example, being able to start to have them learn boundaries, especially young boys understand that no means no, but also start to separate what I call the player from the person. So you struck out, but you're not a failure, right?
Right.
So start to separate the self from the behavior. So you had a bad game, but you aren't bad. So I think it's super important during those early years to be super firm with the boundaries, but within those boundaries be super soft, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like gentle about the feelings that are coming up, while still firm in the boundary.
Yeah. And it's like the way I talk to coaches and especially parents who are coaches with it is instead of making it this coach versus player or parent versus player, it's the parent and the player versus the game. Mm. So striking out sucks. It's not fun. It's painful, but hey man, that's the game. We've all been there.
Right. Right. And yeah, helping them learn to tolerate that pain. Cause there are lots of times that, you know, I mean, striking out has become a metaphorical way that we talk about lots of things. Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. For a reason, cause it does suck.
Yeah.
I have been there too. I played softball as a kid and like, it sucks.
Yeah. And also at that young age, there's the physical aspect of there's a dude standing, you know, sort of close to you, throwing a hard ball at you.
Yeah.
And there's all these people staring at you. There's your parents, there's the other team, the people are screaming and yelling. So there's also that feeling of sort of being exposed and being vulnerable. You're on a stage, right?
Right.
There's people staring at you and you're performing. So sort of understanding that it's scary for them at that age. I remember being super young and I got hit in the hand in the batting cage and I was like crying. It was so scary. And then like, I look at the batting cage now and the ball was like going so slow. It was a softball. And I'm like, oh, like that totally freaked me out at age, whatever, 5, but because that was real.
Right. Right. Yeah. And this is making me think of like nanny kids I've worked with who, yeah, like when we play board games too, same thing comes up and we struggle, like those same kids have struggled with sports as well, of like the rules being the rules,
mm-hmm.
being really hard for them and having a place to work that out, to feel that pain, know that you can survive it,
mm-hmm.
know that it makes you better, that now you look at it and it's going slowly and it's a softball, you know, while also recognizing that to them it's very real and it's hard work that they're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a hard balance to strike as a caregiver.
Yeah. And that's really why I sort of talk about and teach people to think about the player and the person. So we're all multiple things,
right.
But like really being able to understand that you have to treat the player a certain way and then the person a certain way. So as a coach, I treat all the people, all the persons the same, right? I say hi, I build a relationship, but each player, if you're not the best player, you're not going to get the most playing time.
Right.
I still love you, but you're not as good. So like being able to be honest with that transfers over to everything else in life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Cause if you're still working on a skill or if you're just not as naturally gifted, like, I don't know, it never, like that type of sport never clicked for me. Right. And it took a long time for my dad in particular, cause I'm an only child. And he was like, you need team sports. Like, mm-hmm. otherwise you won't know how to work as a team. And it took him a long time to figure out, for me, theater was my team sport.
Right.
That you are using the same skills in theater. And like, I love what you said about it being a stage and that being part of it too, of like, everyone's watching you and like, you are performing, like the game is a performance. And that's when you want and hope to be at your best. But as a recovering actress, I was not at my best every performance, you know, like that's impossible. So yeah, I think that that's a really good way to look at it, and almost to bring it to theater, to put it in language I can understand, is like, you have the performer and then you have the character, and you're talking about like the athlete versus the person. I think that's really smart and helpful for me, who feels like an outsider in sports, to think of it in those terms when I'm helping a kid through those big feelings.
Yeah. And it's really that player in person or the character and actor. It's like, we need to give the kids really the unconditional love, and also teach them like, you also have potential. You also can do better, because it, in sports, I see the families and parents and kids I see struggle are at either end of that spectrum. There's the hardcore, and at all costs,
right,
do whatever it takes. And then on the other end, there's the everyone gets a trophy, just have fun, you're perfect just the way you are. And that, and right on either end of the spectrum, it's in anxiety and depression, it's apathy and neuroticism. So it's like, how do we have both of that? Because I think with the kids I see now, it's, and I'd like to hear your thoughts also, there's just so much apathy, there's so much passivity. It's just like, and there's not that robust, a passionate human.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I, what you just said touched for me in my head on authoritarian parenting versus permissive parenting.
Perfect.
And we want that authoritative of like, we are holding these boundaries while also recognizing that this is hard.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And I say active versus passive.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that idea of, so you're saying right now you feel the pendulum has really swung towards the passive, towards the like, we're just here to have fun. It doesn't matter how we do. Is that what you're saying a lot of?
I think recently, yeah, there's both polar or both ends are expanding, but I feel like we've sort of, we're so scared of the one authoritarian side that we started to swing to sort of this apathy, this passivity of like, whatever, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the stakes don't matter. And then it kind of becomes like, what are we doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about that within like the greater context of pandemic, within the, and I also recognize that I think that that has been happening for a while, even before the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I am curious because I know that I, as a nanny and a caregiver, have found myself being gentler because we're all experiencing a global trauma. And so, you know, on board games, like not necessarily like on board games, which is where I really get to see this type of behavior come out, mm-hmm. With my nanny kids, we do this thing called house rules where we will play house rules, but if it's the first time we've played a game, we have to play by the actual rules in the rule book. And then after that, we can make up house rules, but you have to have established them all at the beginning of the game. Sure. And like, even that is hard. It's hard mm-hmm. for them because they realize that they lost and they're like, but that same thing you were talking about, like one more strike, please. Not often, please, actually one more strike. I get one more strike and it's like, no. So I do agree with you that I think that we have gotten a little bit more passive or permissive, or like looking for any opportunity to award a kid for doing like literally the bare minimum.
Right.
And yeah, I hadn't really thought through like, what does that mean for their resiliency? What does that mean for their grit? What does that mean for the struggles that they are going to face in mm-hmm. the future?
Yeah.
What have you seen be successful to help move more towards the middle from that direction?
Sure. I think, and part of it is age, right? So if I'm mm-hmm. working with high school age kids, there is going to be a little bit more of that passivity of whatever, I don't know, whatever, dude, because they're at that age. But I think what makes sports so cool and the really the fastest way in the moment to get out of that is competition. So really being able to put competition on anything. So even I have, when I work with those younger ages, we practice striking out and then we have a competition of who can strike out the best. Mm. And so I start off of like, do we strike out and do we throw our helmet and bat and do we put our head down or do we go, I struck out. And so like being able to teach it instead of just push it down,
right?
Because what a passivity is we're pushing it down. Mm-hmm. We're saying, I don't like this feeling. I'm just going to push it down instead of letting it out properly. And look, if you strike out, you should be angry because that means you care. That means you're present and that means you're engaged. So I think sort of we don't like feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so, and we don't have space for some of those, whether it's anger or frustration, we immediately try and fix it instead of just, hey, I'm angry and frustrated and I'm going to be like this for 5 or 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. And I see that a lot too in kids that I have worked with in theater and in other capacities of like kids don't right now, I'm not seeing as many kids as I would like understand that any feeling is okay. The behavior may or may not be okay.
Exactly.
And providing a space for them to feel those feelings and then choose correct behaviors, because you can be mad that you struck out, but you can't throw the bat at exactly. the pitcher. You can't go hit your teammates. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, or any of that. But you can say, I'm going to sit on the bench. I don't want to talk to anyone. for 5 minutes. Like I need to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Right.
Like I'm mad. I messed up. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really great. And I do wish that more coaches knew about that. So I'm glad that you're out there helping.
Really, and I'm lucky to have so much experience as a coach and with sports. Like, so I thought I was going to be a teacher. And mm-hmm. then I was like, if I'm a teacher, then like the kids aren't going to like me.
Right.
It's like, and so it's much easier to work with kids in sports and play instead of being a teacher or a mom or dad. It's like they actually want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's play. So it's easier for me as a coach to, so here's an example. I had a player and he would always freak out, throw stuff, cry, scream and yell. He was at that like 11 or 12 age. So where that stuff, especially with boys, starts to come out, and it's really not a good look anymore.
Right.
And he had coaches and parents always stop this, stop that. You got to do that. And so from my perspective, I was like, I'm not dealing with it. So I stopped, and he would go for a walk. He would stand in the, like by the trees, and we would keep an eye on him, but he would do that. And then he would come back. And then after that season, the tantrum stopped because I think a part of that passivity is we start to throw fuel on the fire.
Right.
What is a technique we can do? What is a therapeutic intervention? What is a pill? Instead of just give them some space, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that attitude of like, we'll be here playing the game. Like
yeah.
When you're ready to join us, we're here.
Yeah.
We're ready for you to join us when you're ready.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I use that all the time with kids I nanny of like, I see that you're mad. Like, you're welcome to feel that way. I'm not going to keep playing with you until you've calmed down. So I'm ready. I'll be here. I'm ready to keep playing with you.
Yep.
When you've calmed back down. Let's look at the other side of that. Because I think that this one gets glamorized a little bit more, but the parents who are like, win at any cost,
mm-hmm.
or the kids who are that way. But for me, what I have seen a little bit more is that the passion of the kid dies because the parent is putting so much pressure on winning.
Yes.
I don't necessarily see it come from the kid all that often.
Exactly.
Okay, great. I'm mm-hmm. glad to know that that my feelings on that are also on track with what's actually happening out there in the world. Yeah, what can we do with that, especially as nannies?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if we're driving that kid to the game or to the practice or whatever, and then the parent, you know, we take them back home and the parent at the end of the day is like, how did they do? Like, what, you know, what was their, I don't know, what batting average? That's a thing.
Yeah.
What was their batting average or whatever?
Yeah. So it's super hard from the nanny perspective. The way I'm doing it now, speaking with parents and coaches and athletic directors, is I say stuff like, do do you want your kid to be in therapy for his anxiety or for your anxiety? Ooh.
How do they react when you say that?
They smile.
Okay.
And they go, okay. And it's like sort of awkward, but that's what it is. And so I think we need to take the attention off the kid, off of the player, and be able to have a conversation with that person,
right,
with that parent. And what I see with that type of parent is either two things. They are also super successful. They're a big time, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and so that's just how they are with everything. And I also see it on the other end where that parent might not be successful at all. And they're putting all their eggs into their kid's basket.
Right.
And so I think why sports are so great is because you can't, like the stats and the performance, it is what it is.
Right,
so,
right.
So I'll have a parent say, I want my kid to be a Division I player and this and that. So I say, that's awesome. It's great. Here's the measurables that your kid needs to have. He needs to be 6 foot one. He needs to be 200 pounds. He needs to be able to throw a ball 93 miles per hour, blah, 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 blah. And then they stare at that and they stare at their kid and they're like, oh, like this might not be possible. And it's like, yeah, but feel free to try, but this is what it is. And so being able to give them a clear shot and also to allow parents space of like, hey, whenever you want to come back down to reality, I'll be here.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So it's that same thing of just being super honest. Here are the boundaries. Here's a reality. And then they'll figure it out. Like, so when I work with high school kids and their parents, that's what it is. Their parents want their kid to be a D1 athlete. And it's like, well, have any colleges called you? No. Okay. Like, well, then he's not.
Right.
That's just reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, helping the parent. I mean, not necessarily like sitting with the parent in the same way we sit with the 5-year-old who struck out, but yeah, just stating the fact. And then, and I'm curious about when the parent is going through that journey, have you found successful ways to like hold space for the kid during that? Or do you just like let it play out?
Sure. So there's, what's interesting is usually the kid knows. So like they know why they're not playing. Mom and dad, I'm not playing because I'm not as good.
Right.
They understand it. And so like, I'm sort of like staring at the kid, like, I'm so sorry, dude, but you know what's up. But I think why I'm starting to do what I do is we need to be more direct and start to talk to these parents early on of like, you're causing a lot of destruction.
Right.
So sort of the joke I make is like, I want to, so my like pitch is like, I want to build better ball players on and off of the field. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I could also call this, I want your kid to be successful and not end up in therapy.
Right.
So like, I think we all need to do a better job of coaches, of as teachers, to like, just be honest and say, stop this. What you're doing isn't working and it's causing damage. And I think just being able to be more honest with that and have some things to back it up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. And I do agree that I don't know that it's necessarily like that there is space for a nanny to help with that journey, right, other than, you know, on the car ride home, helping hold space, like maybe bringing it up, like, you know, your parent might feel disappointed about this. Like, how is that sitting with you? Like, how do you feel mm-hmm. about that? Asking them, you know, what can I do to help you navigate this? But yeah, that's a hard place to be. Yeah. And I'm glad that you're helping coaches, because I do think it's a coach's job,
right,
to talk through that.
Yeah. I think, and I've seen some pretty horrible stuff as a coach, whether it's, I saw parents drive through, like speed out of a parking lot and spray mace at the umps. I've seen dads like pick up their kids and I'm like, I think the dad's pretty drunk.
Yeah.
So like, I think as coaches, we need to really to set the boundaries and say, you're off the team. It's done.
Right.
Period. The end. And I think too many coaches, especially the way youth sports are now, where there's a lot of money involved, that like, all right, if I kick this family out, they have three kids in the organization, that's like $10,000 or $12,000 right there.
Right.
And also how does that help the kid?
Right.
But I think we need more of that. Just those hard boundaries. Nope. See you. Bye. You can come back, but your specific behaviors have to stop. It's done.
Right. Right. Yeah. I love those signs that are up at certain fields that are like, this is a children's game.
Yeah.
You are not welcome to
right.
yell. You are not welcome to, you know, that address that in signage at least. And, you know, right. I know that it's still going to happen, but I do feel like when something is written and posted, it's helpful to start that conversation of like, hey, do you see the sign? Like, mm-hmm. why don't you read that to me, parent?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Go ahead and read that back to me.
We also still want parents to be active and engaged though.
Right.
And I think what I see, especially with dads, is like going to watch that game on a Saturday is like their only time where they aren't working.
Right.
Where they aren't at work or stuck in traffic on the way home or doing stuff at the house. So like them going to their kids' game is like, it's sort of like them going to a Cubs game. It's like,
right.
This is their time to relax also. I think there's more things at play than just that specific moment.
Yeah. That's a really good point too, of like, yeah, if, and imagining it from the kids' perspective of like, this is the only time that my dad pays attention to me.
Yeah.
And if I mess up during the game,
yep,
that's his whole view of me, is that I'm messing up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, you know, all other aspects of their life is like pretty great, if you mess up that game, it just holds a lot more weight.
Yeah. And it, kids get parentified so easily playing sports, mm-hmm, right? If they have a good game or bad game, a mom and dad are upset, or they're stressed out that they had to wake up at 4 a.m. on a Saturday and drive through 3 hours to this baseball game.
Right.
And then the kid strikes out, and so it starts to snowball. And so it's like, what are the parents' expectations here? What do you like? What are you scared of? What do you not want to happen? So like, I talk to parents about, okay, what is your pregame and your postgame routine going to be? Because it should be the same regardless if they win or lose. So do you want to put let's use striking out. If you're angry that your kid strikes out, that means that you're putting the opposing team's pitcher in charge of your emotions.
Right.
Do you want some random 9-year-old to be in charge of your emotions? Yes or no? No. Okay. So stop.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're giving that 9-year-old a lot of power. A 9-year-old you might never see again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put it, and very clear. And direct. Yeah. I love that. I'm curious, have you watched Ted Lasso?
No, but people keep asking me that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because in Ted Lasso, and I don't know, you know, listeners, if you've seen it or not, I'm not going to ruin anything, but in Ted Lasso, it is the idea of a coach who is counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched, especially the first season, I was like, Coach Lasso is using positive discipline. And things like he runs with the team. Like, he doesn't expect them,
mm-hmm,
to just go do the practice or whatever. Like, he's out there with them.
Yeah.
He also like takes suggestions, and you know, at first they're like suggesting like jokey things, you know,
right,
like you should leave, things like that. and then other things that I'm not going to say on the podcast. But like, one person is like, the showers, the water pressure, it's like not good. And he fixes it. You know, like, there are things that that as coaches and through athletics or teaching or however, you know, you interact with kids, there are ways of doing it where you are like showing up for the player and the person,
mm-hmm,
at the same time.
Right.
And I wish that there was more of that, because it feels like often it's set up to make you choose to either show up for the person or for the player.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, it can only be both.
Right.
And it's like, one thing why I think parents start to listen to me is because I start off saying, like, your team has to win, right? If that's the most important part,
right?
Because that's why the kids are there, and the systems you put in place to have a winning team are also going to be the same systems that help him as a person. So it's like being a teacher. If all your students are failing, are you doing them any good?
Right.
No. So like you start from there, and then what happens is like, oh, so it, as a coach, it's like, well, if you want to have a winning team, that means that you have to have good relationships with the players. Okay. Like you have to be a good communicator. You have to have them learn to communicate to you. You have to have good relationships with the parents. Here's maybe something that could help nannies. I learned, and I struggled with this, like that parents are often testing you, whether it's subconsciously or not. They are doing things, and once I started to stand up for myself, say no, stuff like that, they gained a lot more respect for me. So being able to like have those honest conversations can go a long way.
Yeah. I'm curious your opinion about a nanny talking with a coach. Like if a nanny is seeing the parent have some of these behaviors of like their anxiety is getting in the way.
Yeah.
If a nanny went to a coach and was like, hey, this is what I'm seeing, I'm curious if you can help at all. Sure. How would you feel about that?
Yeah. I think it would depend on the nanny and the coach. So like as a coach, I always have a rule of, I don't want to hear from anyone unless it's about important stuff. So are there health things? Are there mental health things? Those are the conversations I want to have. Those are the emails I want to look at. Don't speak to me about playing time. So I think yes. And especially if you can come at it from a way about the kid, because I can, if the coach is halfway decent, he will also be seeing the same things you are.
Right.
I heard a great quote from Mike Tyson. He said, your family secrets come out in your children.
Oh, that is a great quote.
Yeah. So, I mean, the teachers are seeing it. Coaches are seeing it. The neighbors are seeing it. The only people that probably aren't seeing it are the parents. So, right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'm thinking about like, if I was in that position, what I would do. And I don't think it would be, you know, like first game or first whatever, be like, coach, this is what I'm seeing at home, help. But like, you know, if you're the nanny and you're dropping off and picking up from practice and you're building that rapport with the coach, you know, one day being like, hey, like I'm seeing the parents put a lot of pressure on this kid. I'm wondering what your advice around that would be, or like, can you offer any help? Because the kid is dreading coming to the games or practice or whatever. And I'm not sure how to help right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The joke I always make is like, when people ask me that, I like say stuff like, have you thought about piano lessons? Like it's an, but it does get to a point where it's like, if he doesn't want to be there, it's a waste of time. Same thing. And you're probably learning this now, like if the kid doesn't want to be there in their AP, there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Right. Right.
So it's like, I think as clinicians, we need to do a better job as nannies and as coaches of going directly to that parent instead of like scapegoating through the kid still and saying, here's what I'm seeing. Like, this is what it is.
Right. And yeah. And checking in on like, cause sometimes maybe they're just not developmentally there yet, you know, exactly. It might be, let's wait a year, let's wait a season.
Yeah.
And my parents always had the rule of like, I had to finish the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about it, you know, like, because by the end of the season, when I was playing softball, I was out looking at four leaf clovers in the field, you know, like I was not invested at all. And I was a little bit more invested in soccer, but not much.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and like, and then I found swimming, and then I found synchronized swimming specifically. And I was so invested in synchronized swimming. So it took a while to find like, cause I needed that artsy element for my buy-in, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what is your opinion on like, you have to finish the season?
Yeah. So let's back up to the developmentally appropriate stuff. That's it. So like I would work with a 5-year-old and his dad or a mom would be like, he needs to get better at X, Y, or Z. And I would say, can he tie his shoes? And they say, no, well, if he can't tie his shoes, he's certainly not going to be able to catch and throw a baseball.
Right.
Like, or even some stuff like, he isn't understanding the, some of the more intricacies of the game. Well, can he do long division? No. Well, then he isn't able to right now. And that was basically my way of saying he's too young.
Right.
And so going off of that to like, should you finish out a season, stuff like that, I think that comes down to the expectations. Mm. If you start like, if as a parent, you're paying $2,000 for a spring season, like, are you going to make him finish it out either way?
Right.
But is he playing for the local park district where you didn't pay anything? That's a different story. It's also, I would like us to not have to get to that point of like, why is he 14, 15 years old and we're still going through this?
Right.
And it's also with sport. I mean, I've worked with professional athletes who are like, I am sick of this season. I am exhausted. And it's like, now they can't say that to the reporters, but like that's how they're feeling. So it's also a natural thing of like, yeah, like, and this goes back to, don't make it a power struggle and make it two people standing together on that of like, yeah, dude, baseball is a long season. It's tough. Hang in there and do the best you can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And back to the developmental thing really quickly. Have you ever, have you seen the x-ray of I think like a 3-year-old's hand versus a 7-year-old's hand?
No.
It's drastically different. Like the bone structure in your hand from 3 to 7 changes. Yeah. And I've worked with parents before who are like, she's not holding a pencil correctly, or she's not holding whatever correctly. And I like showed them that. And I was like, here's why. Like, if you want, like if holding a pencil correctly is your goal, the way to get there is Play-Doh and like kitty scissors and like all these other things. It's not giving them a pencil and then they get frustrated because they literally can't do it. And I think that sometimes with sports and younger kids, that is true as well. Like, I love what you said about like, can they tie their shoe? Because it's like, literally the bones aren't done yet. Right. And so, and it develops, you know, there's the average, but for some kids that develops way later than some other kids. And so, yeah, there might be a very good reason. And so I would say when kids are young, don't pay the $2,000.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And also sort of going off on that, like, and, you know, have them be more athletic, have them be more active instead of sitting around on the couch all day. Like, go play soccer, go play a tag, go skateboard. One thing we talked about as a program is we want kids to play as many sports as possible. Stop specializing at 9 years old unless he's so jacked up on that one specific sport. Like, go play other sports, skateboard, surf, learn a musical instrument. So you have this foundation of, then you turn 11, 12, 13, 14, and then you can see where your skills are and then go towards that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dance, like get them in dance and like, you know, all those different things. Cause yeah, I've seen a lot of, people who are very athletic who were like, I wish that I had like dance skills, like my balance isn't great or whatever. And yeah, like one of my nanny kids, like one of his literal favorite activities is running around the bases.
Yeah.
Like, we just go to the park and he runs around the bases and like, and sometimes we like do the whole, like, I'll do commentary for the game and I'm like, you know, kiddo is up for, you know, whatever. And like, and we talk through like a whole game, but he's not playing and, or he is playing, but he's not like, we don't have a ball, we don't have a bat, but we can still enjoy all of that. And he's like, he runs around them like 10 times. Yeah. Just like, cool, this is great. So yeah, there's, I love that idea of like, don't specialize before high school, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we fall into the trap of wanting our child to be a prodigy. But I think if your child is a prodigy, then it's going to be undeniable.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. And it's been such a fun discovery that, like, sports and a lot of the arenas I'm more familiar in are kind of, it's the same principles across the board.
Yeah, for sure.
So for listeners, how can they find out more about you and, like, keep learning from you?
Sure. So you can find me on LinkedIn. There's a lot of stuff there. Just type in Peter Bruce, and I'm sure you'll find it. That's it right now.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Because I do think that, I don't know, I might be speaking out of turn, but I know for me as a nanny, like, I do feel very much an outsider, like, when I take kids to sports, and it's been really nice to discover ways that I can support them in the pregame and the postgame and the pre dropping off for practice and afterwards too. That it doesn't have to be this, like, cutoff of, like, now they're out of my care, now they're back in my care, you know, like that. Yeah. I can help support them throughout. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Awesome. Okay. Well, we end each episode with a cute, fun story, and I have actually brought one this week. Actually, I'm gonna share two because they're kind of the same idea and they both have to do with games. So the first is, one time I was babysitting a kid, and he really wanted to play soccer. And so, and I, like, had worn flip flops because I was not expecting that. And so I was, like, shooting goals or whatever and just missing, like, awful. Like, I'm not very good in the best conditions, and they were not the best conditions. And I finally made a goal, and the way that he cheered for me was, like, so much pity. He was like, "Marfa, you did it." And, it was really funny. And then in a similar vein, a couple weeks ago, I was playing memory with one of my kiddos, and he destroyed me at that game so hard that he started being like, "Marfa, it's this one. You should turn over this one," because he felt so bad for me. So yeah. And I also did want to mention that a book that I have found to help with, like, sportsmanship in particular, Evie's Field Day does a really good job of, for young kids, talking about that sometimes there are more important things than winning, or, like, they have a game at the end, like, good sport, bad sport. So they list different behaviors, and the kids get to say, was this person being a good sport or bad sport? So that's a good resource if bad sportsmanship is something you're struggling with in your day. So, well, thank you so much, Pete. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Tyler. Artwork by Noni Blastodon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudios.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.